You are listening to 104 Through the Fan, KKFN and KKFN HD1 Longmont, Denver. And it's Memorial Day. It's Cecil Lammy and Frank Schwab from Yahoo Sports sitting in for DMAC and Tom Nalen. And Memorial Day is more than just a three-day weekend. Having family in the military, having family that's died in the military, like the people that make the ultimate sacrifice. We're a couple slappies that could just sit around and talk about football, right? We write about football, even with your jacked up hand over there. Like, you write about football. We write about football. We talk about football and comic book movies and all this stuff that doesn't matter. All because of our freedoms that were protected and are still protected, of course, by the brave men and women of our armed forces. But on this Memorial Day, we remember those that gave the ultimate sacrifice for all of us to enjoy our freedoms.
Unquestionably.
So not just today. Remember that every day.
Yes, for everybody out there barbecuing and listening to two slappies talk about football. Remember, we are very lucky. Yes, very indebted, very gracious for what they've done for us.
Well, the Denver Broncos, in trying to get back on the winning track, they're doing it with Joe Flacco. We're talking about the wide receivers, though, and here's the thing: we're not going that deep.
No,
we can't, but because I believe there is a serious depth issue on this team. Now, we'll talk wide receiver, but there's depth issues elsewhere.
Of course.
It might even be a running.
That's because they blew like three straight drafts. And this is the time when those drafts really bite you.
Yes. This is when the core of your team, this is when you're not paying guys. Mm-hmm. You can't fill all your holes in free agency. And that's so many holes because their drafts weren't good.
Because the guys who are in the third and fourth years of their rookie contracts are just not.
Jeff Heirman's the last guy from his draft class here.
I know.
That was 2015.
You can't whiff on
it. Was like 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
It was 2015. And it's not like the 2016 class. I know some people might try to be like, it's better than you think. No, it's not. And we'll see if Justin Simmons and Will Parks stay around, right? Like, Adam Gotz is probably going to move on from him. But at wide receiver, Emmanuel Sanders coming back from injury, we don't know. We hope he's good to go. You know, we don't know. Cortland Sutton, we hope he takes that next step. We don't know. Deshaun Hamilton, he's a slot guy. How much of a step can he really take? We don't know. Man, if Sanders isn't right and Sutton doesn't get it, it's ugly.
I think you could just, even if Sanders isn't right, who do you got at that point? Let's just say he has lost a step, which again, he's 31 coming off Achilles. I don't wish that for him, but it's a possibility. We have to factor in that.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, you have a second-year guy in Cortland Sutton, a rookie in Noah Fant, second-year guy in Deshaun Hamilton, and who? Yeah, maybe Sutton becomes a 1,200-yard receiver. Maybe Noah Fant has 50 catches. Maybe this all comes together and it's just perfect and great even without Emmanuel Sanders. But right now, the unknown is deep. I mean, it is tough to put together a scenario in your mind when every single thing goes right where they have a great supporting cast around Joe Flacco without Emmanuel Sanders being a huge part of that, being a 70, 80-catch guy.
This could be where my 50-catch prediction for Noah Fant comes to fruition.
It might be on 120 targets. Who knows?
Well, you mentioned Evan Engram. The reason why he got that much targets because Odell Beckham Jr. was down. Well, they have to have Sutton take the next step. They have to have Sanders come back and be himself.
Right.
Because I can't trust Deshaun as a number two or a number one. And I talked to Deshaun last week at UCL Training Center, and he's talking about he's got the same mindset as Cortland and Emmanuel. That's cool. And I appreciate that. I really do. And I like Deshaun Hamilton a lot.
He showed some things last year, I thought.
He did.
I think there's
a great technician, but he's Vincent Brown. Very few people are going to remember that guy.
Whoa.
That's a deep pull.
San Diego State.
Yeah, you pulled out Mr. Green Bay Packers number 10 overall pick. Can't even remember his name.
Jamal Reynolds.
Yes, Jamal Reynolds.
I don't think I ever started a game for the Green Bay Packers despite being
I'll bring out Vincent
pick.
Brown because Vincent Brown at San Diego State and with the Chargers very briefly was a great technician, but as soon as he got hurt, he was just fast enough.
Yeah.
Just quick enough. And as soon as he got hurt and lost like a quarter of a step, then he was no good.
Yeah, there's so many guys like that in the NFL where it's just
and I think Deshaun,
the level of competition.
Deshaun is not a speedster. He's not the fastest guy, not the quickest guy. He's a nuanced and savvy route runner. And God forbid he gets a little bit banged up because I think it's the same type of situation where he needs everything. He needs to wring that towel. He needs everything out of his skill set to be a very productive player. A very productive player, but I'm not going to put him as a number two receiver this year. And certainly not a number one receiver. He's not that guy.
If he's your number two receiver this year, something went wrong. I mean, I'll allow for the possibility of Hamilton just having some crazy breakout and be great from the slot. But realistically, as we sit here on Memorial Day, if you're telling me at the end of the year, Hamilton's our number two receiver. He is number two of receptions, targets, whatever. Something's gone wrong. Like, that ain't the blueprint for the Denver Broncos right now. They need him to be maybe their fourth best receiver. And that's fine. They need guys like that. They need depth, as we've talked about. But yes, they can't. There's no way that going into this season they're expecting that. They shouldn't be expecting that much out of him. But he needs to be a contributor. They need guys. They need more than they've had. They do need a Sutton to be able to handle 140 targets at least. They need Sanders to look like he has in the past. They need Fant to be an impact maker as the number 20 pick of the draft. It just hasn't been there for the Broncos in years now. They need some of these guys to emerge just because these lost drafts have just eaten away at their depth.
Right. And they need to address that depth issue. And wide receiver is not the only spot at all.
Right. What other positions do you think are the biggest problems right now, depth-wise?
Offensive line.
Yeah. Has it been, like, how long has this been a question? Right.
How much is on Mike Munchak's shoulders? And is it too much?
I don't think it's too much. I think he's a great coach, great position coach. I think
how's he going to get through to Garrett Bowles?
I don't know. I mean, I think he's the guy to do it, though. I think it's one of those, well, if he can't do it, well, then it's just, this is who he is. Like, this is just who Garrett Bowles is. But yes, the depth issue is it's been a huge issue with that offense.
The Broncos have to make a decision on Garrett Bowles' fifth-year option next offseason.
You think they're going to do it right now?
No.
Yeah.
No, not at all. And it was always a curious pick because he's an older rookie. So you're not like getting a young man still right. in a second contract, which would be significant for a left tackle. You're getting an older, dare I say, near 30. I think it's 28. But that's the age he'll be at that time. Like, no, I don't think they do it. But is Mike Munchak a miracle worker, though?
Wow. We need miracles now.
No. And here's the thing. It's not on the physical attributes for Garrett Bowles. It's the mental side of things. Does he take to coaching? If someone climbs up in his backside and starts coaching him tough. I know, you know, everyone gets a ribbon and don't ever say anything to a player. Like, no. This is football. You're going to get your ass chewed. And if you can't take a chewing and know what the message is and go out there and perform, you don't deserve to be in this league because that's the way this league operates. You better know how to get chewed out.
Yeah.
Listen to Mike Munchak, a Hall of Famer. And that's where Garrett would struggle if he does not take to coaching. And by the way, that's what we mean when we say that. He needs to learn how to get chewed out and know that he's still important, he's still a big part, and they're chewing you out because you need to be chewed out, but you better listen to what they're telling you.
Oh, it's a high-pressure job. Like, this is
he's the left tackle for
one of
Joe
the 32
Flacco.
NFL teams. Right. Yes, you are one of the key spots in the world.
It's not like Joe Flacco's going to be, he's not Lamar Jackson. No, he's not going to be running away from anybody.
He's not making anybody miss.
You're the left tackle for a statuesque pocket passer.
Yeah, you need him time. Though, this is kind of the year it has to turn on for him. Or it's just not going to happen. Like, I mean, we can give guys time to develop and all this, but when you're a first rounder in that position who's played a lot of football now, like, this isn't a guy who sat and learned for years. No.
Right.
This guy who's thrown into fire. Right? We kind of have some film on him we've seen, and the fifth year option thing is coming up too. I think this is a make or break here for him. And, you know, I mean, but it's, if this doesn't work out again, it's like you're just taking two steps back with these drafts. Like, some of these picks have to hit for them. Or again, it's like the depth issue with the Denver Broncos is just going to eat away their roster.
They've hit in 2018 and 2019.
I believe that too.
But they've missed so much in 2016, 2017, 2015.
Yes. And that should be the good teams around the NFL. You look, they had great drafts 4 or 5 years ago. Those guys are on their rookie deals still. They're not making a ton of money.
Right.
But they're still making huge contributions in their prime years. And that's where the Denver Broncos are really struggling right now because that should be the core of their team, should be the 2015, 2017 drafts when guys are in the third, fourth, and fifth year of the rookie.
Why is Ron Leary playing right guard? And why is Don Barkley, and you're a Packers fan, tell me why Don Barkley was in the first team last week. Now, I know it's because Ron Leary, you know, they're giving him some rest or whatever, but like, and God bless Don Barkley. He's a better football player than I'll ever be, whatever. But like, when I saw that, I was like, wait a second. I remember Stoke asking me on the air. I stopped by the studio, and Stoke's like, oh, there's a Don Barkley guy. And I was like, that's the Packers, like, cast off.
Yeah.
Why?
At some point, like, it just seems like, how long have we been talking Broncos football? And it just seems like year after year after year, we're always talking about, when are they going to fix the offensive line? When's the offensive line going to be good again? When
right.
That's another, we talk a lot about the quarterback, you know, John Elway, can he get a... A lot of this is offensive line, too. I mean, Leary was supposed to turn things around. Garrett Bowles was supposed to be the guy, and they seemingly missed on Ryan
Donald
Ramchick.
Donald Stevenson was supposed to be a right tackle. Right. Anik Watson was supposed to be a right tackle. Like
Jared Valdir was supposed to be. And right. It just time after time, it just they haven't been able to fix this thing. I like Juwan James. I think he's going to be a good player. Okay. But, you know, I mean, it's still – you need to build depth beyond just your top five, too, because, like you said, one injury away from Don Barclay being a big part of this thing. Like that shouldn't be happening right now.
By the way, I learned last year – and Donald Stevenson was gone already, but I learned, like, he wanted to kick my ass.
Really?
Yeah. And I was
wow,
like,
wow, what is this? Today is just your day for telling me who hates you around the NFL. I
guess
love it.
So, yeah. I was like, I talk to Donald Stevenson all the time about, like, Kansas City barbecue and stuff.
Huh.
I'm like, why? I mean, I just tell like it is. When he got here, you know, I reached out to some Kansas City people, and they're like, well, you know, there might be something there with him. Talked about it, then there wasn't, and I talked about that, and the next thing I know, like, the PR's lying to him about, oh, Cecil's not here today. I'm like, what, Don Stevenson, why do you want to kick my ass? Like,
wow.
Seriously.
Wow. I don't think he'd win that fight. I love
oh,
you, man.
Oh,
but,
God,
yeah,
no.
I don't think that one's turning out well for you.
No, not at all.
I don't think that one's turning out well for you.
No. I'd run and scream. That's what I'd do. But I know, and you know, you've had your time with some players that take a little issue.
Yeah, yeah. One that's with the station right now. Back to the offensive line and what positions need depth. I think the offensive line is on the spot.
Mm-hmm.
I think receiver/tight end is definitely on the spot.
Right.
Inside linebacker's on the spot.
Running back's on the spot?
No.
Yes.
No.
What? This is Frank Schwab disagreeing with me. Cecil Lamb here on the Fan. Frank Schwab from Yahoo Sports.
Oh,
running back depth issue is a serious concern.
I don't think so, because we both like Royce.
Yeah.
We obviously like Philip Lindsay.
Yeah.
How many deep are you trying to go here?
Well, who's behind those two?
Okay, yeah.
You had two guys both banged up in their rookie seasons, by the way.
How many teams go that legitimately three deep?
You know, you play fantasy football. You know that every year there's some third string guy that comes out of nowhere at the end of the season. And everybody wants to pick him up.
True.
So you say, how many teams go there? I'm like, yeah, plenty of teams.
How many teams are deep that way? That we know. Like, the third string guys you met, we don't know on Memorial Day they're going to be good.
Right.
They emerge.
But you talk about a draft pick that didn't go right. There was some buzz from some pretty, let's just say, top people that Devontae Booker was a consideration for them in the first round. Had they not been able to trade up and get Paxton, I'd heard on very good authority that Devontae Booker was going to be their first-round pick. The guy that was supposed to be better than C.J. Anderson. Remember his, like, I'm not here to carry pads.
That's right.
When I was on the air, I was like, shut up, carry pads. Because it's like, that's C.J. Anderson, man. He's not better than that guy. And then Devontae Booker, like, quickly forgot about it. He's their third guy.
Yeah.
You want Devontae Booker toting a rock?
No, not right now. No, that's a good point.
I mean,
but I still think they're fine. Like, as long as your top two are fine. Look, if you got to go to your third guy, it stinks. You don't want to have that happen. It does happen at times, but their top two are strong.
But then behind them, all they got is little guys. Khalfani Muhammad's like 175 pounds. I do like a Devontae on this team. Devontae Jackson, was it West Georgia? I think it's the West Georgia kid, the undrafted kid.
Mm-hmm.
He's like 170 pounds and doing really well. Like, he's a little electric, little lightning bug out there, but like, they don't have, like, a legit, like, 215-pound, just give this guy the rock, you know? They don't have that type of player on their team right now.
I wouldn't be surprised if they could pick somebody up like that in August. You know how it goes in the NFL, running back, very fungible position. It changes so quickly. You're always going to have chances to improve the running back room, I think, at a very low cost, whether it's picking up a guy who's been cut, waivers, a low-level trade, something like that.
I would want a back with some size.
That's your old school mentality, man. NFL's changing. NFL doesn't need any 220-pound back anymore. That ain't gonna happen. You need guys to catch the ball. That's what you need.
Yeah, you need guys that can pass protect too, and you need someone better than Devontae Booker. Like, they've been hanging on to him forever.
It's just not happening.
He's one of those guys that contract is up, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
should be about it. Yeah,
yeah. It's this year, Gotsis and Justin Simmons
yep.
and Will Parks. So I'm like, okay, Devontae Booker, I just don't trust it. I don't trust it as the third back. So we'll shelve running back for a little bit.
I think they're fine there.
Okay. I don't.
They have other issues.
They do.
Safety.
Yes.
It's a linebacker.
But is it safety with Kareem Jackson playing safety? Because we all assume he's a corner, but he's been practicing mostly at safety.
I know, and that's
like 90% of the time.
That's really confusing to me. Because you don't give that kind of money to a safety who's not a full, like, he's a converting safety, basically.
Yeah.
That's cornerback money. That's good cornerback money.
He can still be a good corner.
Right.
I think he can.
And I don't think they have the cornerback depth to really put Kareem Jackson as safety and pay it, what, 11 a year, right?
Yeah.
That seems to me like you didn't have a plan when you signed that guy. Right?
Well, your plan should have been, we already have Chris Harris done, so then we can give him 11 sure. million a year, and it doesn't mess with anything with Chris Harris.
Yes.
Because right now, if Kareem Jackson is a safety, you have Bryce Callahan as your number two and Isaac Yiadom as your number three.
And Bryce Callahan is very, very good at what he does.
Slot.
But he only does the slot. Like, you just don't want to overextend him. Yes. You don't overextend a guy like that. Again, we go back to the Patriots putting guys in position to do what you do well. We're not going to ask you to do something you don't do well. Bryce Callahan's a slot guy. And that's a starter in the NFL now. That's a starting
right.
position.
Right.
Slot is more than 50% of your snaps. That's fine, but you need these. You need these other things to happen. The whole Kareem Jackson safety thing is really weird to me. Unless he can't play, if he can't play corner anymore, then you move to safety. Like Charles Woodson.
Right.
But then why'd you pay him $11 million a year if he can't play corner anymore? I don't think that. No.
He's not there yet.
No. He's still a fine cornerback, and I'm playing him at cornerback. I don't know. Maybe that's just me. Maybe there's a reason. And I did like the explanation. I think Vic gave it that said, well, safety has more to learn in this defense. So if we're starting him here now and installing stuff, he can learn more at safety. He can always come back to cornerback and he'll be fine there.
Mm-hmm.
That made sense to me. I hope that's what's happening, because if you paid $11 million for a guy who's having to convert to safety right now, I don't really like that move. If that's what their plan was.
Well, and then at corner, you have Isaac Yiadom, who's coming back from the shoulder thing. So he's not participating in practice, not fully. And again, you know, Devonta Bosby, Mr. AAF.
Right. These guys can't. If you get something out of them, it's great. Bonus. But I don't think at this point you're sitting there saying, yeah, this is the answer.
I'd rather have Bryce Callahan as the third and then Isaac Yiadom as the fourth.
That would, yes.
That makes sense.
And if he's healthy, that works out.
Hmm. What do you got against old school football?
I just think the game has passed us old men by, man. It's a different game. It's Cliff Kingsbury being hired by the Arizona Cardinals, and he's going to run that air raid, and he's going to play out of shotgun.
So why
doesn't
Chip Kelly come back? Because we've already seen this before. History's repeating itself.
Chip Kelly, okay. I'm the only stand for Chip Kelly around here. Chip Kelly changed the NFL. He won.
And then got ran out of town.
He won 10 games, two straight years, with nobody's a quarterback. Mark Sanchez, washed up Michael Vick, Nick Foles, maybe he's good. I don't know. I still can't figure out Nick Foles. But anyway, Chip Kelly changed the game. We're not going to remember because everybody piled on him immediately. This college stuff can't be in the NFL. No, everybody's running it. Everybody's succeeding at it. Chip Kelly's the one to change the game.
So why can't he come back?
I don't know. I just think he was so toxic. And then he went to the 49ers with that bad fit for a year. Yeah. And now it's just done. And he's off at UCLA, I believe. So, but Chip Kelly changed the game. And the modern NFL is what you see out of Kansas City. Mm-hmm. Shotgun, what, 84% of the time or 86% or whatever that was. And you're spreading out the field and your tight ends out wide. Like, Noah Fant's going to be a lot, I hope. And that's the game now. It's not running between the tackles. It's not punting on fourth and one. It is... The whole game has changed, and I think these teams who are behind a little bit, I think the Broncos have been behind a little bit. With Elway talking about...
But they want to be behind.
With Elway talking about, like, Kyler Murray, like, well, I wouldn't want a quarterback, a cat line up under center. Like, that's going to happen. Like, the Arizona Cardinals are going to literally... They have said, or at least one of their players, I think it was A.J. Shipley, has said, we're going to be out of shotgun 99% of the time. I believe that, too.
You know how many passing attempts Kyler Murray had from under center last year?
I think it was zero.
It was five.
Five, okay.
It was five passing attempts, same as Drew Lock.
Wow.
Drew Lock had six batted passes. Kyler Murray had four, or three. Murray had three at half.
That's a great stat. I did not know that. So, but anyway, yes, old school football is just, it's done. It's even if you're playing an old school style like the Ravens are now with run, 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 which we think of as an old school style.
Right.
They're very modern with it. They're running a lot of read option, a lot of quarterback traps and everything under the sun. They're really a fun offense to watch. They're just running it a lot. I don't think you can win playing. We're going to play lineup, you know, fullback, tight end, two tight ends sometimes, unless they're detachable tight ends like we see out of Kelce. Gronk was that way. Noah Fant's going to be that way, where he's not really a tight end. He's really just a big receiver.
That's what he is.
Matchup problems.
Yeah, right.
I think that's the only way you're going to win in the NFL now, is playing a modern game. Like, there's passing the ball 25 times a game, as you said, you're kind of being exaggerating. You need everything to be perfect if you're going to play that way in the NFL these days. It's just a different game. It is basically what college was 5 years ago when everybody just said, we're going to spread it out because nobody can stop this. That's what the NFL is becoming now.
Can I go Peter Griffin on you here?
Oh, yeah.
Now I'm kind of getting shaped like Peter Griffin. I need to step that out. I need to have your hot yoga class with you over there in Centennial. Oh, yeah. But anyway, you know what grinds my gears?
What you got?
It's when people say revolutionize the game, because there was one player recently passed away in Bart Starr. If we're talking about like modern game and passing the football, and Bart Starr was a great man, and certainly the testimonials, Fran Tarkenton on Twitter, like just all this outpouring of remembrance for Bart Starr. You're a Packers fan. You're a Wisconsin guy. And just looking at and watching Bart Starr highlights my whole life, and then, you know, rewatching them now, of course, man, what a great passer.
Oh, yeah.
What a great passer in an era that was smash mouth and run the ball. Yes. And
I mean, the Packers would come into games famously, and they'd have like 8 plays on their sheet. Just be like, stop us.
Right.
We're going to run power sweep right, power sweep left. It really was. That's probably too simplistic. It's gotten exaggerated over time. But they didn't have the big Denny's menu.
Right.
Like Vince Lombardi, who didn't have the big like poster basically of all of his plays. He just knew, we're going to out execute you.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a different game now. It's different. Bart Starr, God bless Bart Starr. And he was. Everybody in Wisconsin, my mom grew up watching Bart Starr. Everybody in Wisconsin loved Bart Starr. But it's just different now. I mean, we're too smart. There's too much information. You can't play that way anymore. You need, I mean, these NFL teams, that's the thing we talk about. How can, like, John Elway screw up drafts? Just as one of the narratives we have. There's 31 other teams that are really, really smart doing the same exact studying.
Right.
The margin of error in the NFL is so small. I don't think people understand that. They don't understand how tough this league really is. At its core, there are 32 teams. Well, 31, the Redskins are never going to get it. But there's like 30-some teams that are really good, functioning at a high level. You're not just going to like line up and beat them anymore.
Right. That just doesn't happen. How blessed would you feel as a Packers fan? Just looking at the quarterbacks that your franchise has had.
So the Bears, the Packers' rivals, obviously. You know the last time they had an All-Pro quarterback? What year? The first-team All-Pro?
Tell me.
1950, Sid Luckman. That was the last time the Chicago Bears.
Oh, wow.
Last time the Chicago Bears had an All-Pro quarterback, and I don't think Mitch Trubisky is going to break that streak.
No,
although I like Trubisky.
He's
fine.
I feel like
he's
a guy who Nick Foles. Like, I don't know if Mitch Trubisky is.
No,
good.
I don't. Either.
I've even asked our Bears guys, even like Eric, who lives in Chicago.
Yeah,
like, is Mitch Trubisky good?
And
because when I watch him, I don't see good.
I see good at times. He had 13 career college starts. He's got time to develop. That'll be fine. But, yes, when you talk about Broncos fans complaining about quarterbacks, as well,
right.
They should. It's been bad the past years. Since 1992, September of 92, the Packers have basically had 2 quarterbacks. It's been Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers, who, if you look at any top 10 list, are probably both going to be on there, right?
Yeah.
So it's an unbelievable streak, just an unbelievable streak.
Mm, fantastic. Cecil Lammy and Frank Schwab from Yahoo Sports filling in for Tom Nalen and DMAC today here on this Memorial Day weekend here on this Monday, and talking about the Denver Broncos and the NFL and why the Broncos being behind the times is not a bad thing. I'm changing Frank's mind. I'm changing your mind. Next.
It's The Drive with Tom Nalen and DMAC.
Cecil Lammy and Frank Schwab sitting in here today. Frank Schwab from Yahoo Sports. And you can tell a lot about our personalities by what we do on commercial break. Because you're pulling up the Rocky score. You're like, holy cow, 11th inning. What was it? What
is it? The bottom of the 11th. Yes.
Bottom of the 11th. 3-3.
Yeah.
3-3.
Baseball.
Who are they playing?
Arizona Diamondbacks.
Okay,
they got a team now.
I got to write about Keith Mumphrey, so leave me alone. And I'm looking at StockX, looking at Jordan's.
Yeah, well, you know.
That's what you do.
So have you watched any NBA playoffs? Have you watched any
No, Nikki, I did the morning show this morning with Nikki Jabala from The Athletic, and I was like, I am so not interested. I hate to bring up your Bucks loss to Toronto. And I like the scene in Toronto that they showed. You know, that was
cool.
Cool.
That's really
to see a fan base that excited.
Yeah, awesome.
Our man Matt Moore on Twitter said yesterday, if the Nuggets would have went to the finals, there would have been like four guys in Denver Stiffs t-shirts drinking microbrews like at Red Rocks or something. Like, but so I dig the scene, but I'm like, it's not interesting. Even without Durant, it's like, it's going to be the Warriors in what, five?
Four or five. Yeah, I think that's pretty safe.
I have zero interest in seeing them win again.
I get that. The league is so good right now. The NBA is really fun right now. Me and my daughter went to three Nuggets games, watched them lose three times, but wait, you know, that happens.
So they were 5-3 during the playoffs at home.
And I was on three. Yeah, yeah. That was the reason.
Don't sell your Nuggets tickets to Frank Schwab.
Yes. Going to game seven against the Portland Trail Blazers. Watching them blow that one. That was fun. But
they've got this one, honey. Oh, wait. No, they don't.
You need to learn to love all sports, man. It's great.
There's so much great. It's just...
No, you don't. What are you talking about?
What? I do.
What do you...
I have a great, healthy appreciation for other sports.
Okay.
Mainly basketball.
Yes, I know you do like basketball.
Yeah. But I'm like...
Can't combine baseball, huh?
I'm writing about Trey Carson and Keith Mumphrey today. Like, that's my job. I have to know everything about football as much as I possibly can. And yeah, it means I'm not going to be as dialed in to, hey, the Warriors win again. I mean,
Charlie Blackman going on the injured list. You know that? You know who Charlie Blackman is?
Of course. Taking it too far. It's like, okay, let's look at these Broncos. And the Broncos offense, you seem to be fighting this today. Like, they can't be stuck in the past. Bro, they're stuck in the past.
This is the offense that you covered. That's a bad sign.
This is the offense that you covered you covered the Broncos, what, 03 to what?
03 to 010.
03 to 010.
Or 10, I guess it's 10? Just 10. I guess
it is an 010, technically.
Yeah, sure, why not?
Okay, 03 to 10, 010,
aughts.
Did you throw a niner in there?
Sure.
But no, you covered this team for roughly a decade, and this is the offense that they're running. They're doing it again in 2019.
And I don't think, there are different ways to win in the NFL. Can you win this way? Yes. But you need everything to go perfectly. I think at some point they're going to have to, and maybe it started this year and last year too in the draft, getting Fant, getting Sutton, getting Hamilton. You're building up this to the point where you can have a legitimate 2019 offense. Because you need the horses for it. I think if you're playing the style of passing 30 times a game, 35, whatever it is, you're doing that out of necessity. You are basically at that point giving up and saying, this is what we got. We got to play this way. Sorry, folks. We're going to run the ball and play defense. I don't think that that's anything you go into wanting to do necessarily in 2019, except for guys who kind of the game has passed them by.
I think it is necessity, but it's also a desire to be that. To be as explosive as you possibly can. 2016 Falcons.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't have Julio Jones. You don't have Matt Ryan.
Right. Yeah.
Okay, do you have Devonta Freeman, Tevin Coleman?
Yeah, you might. You might.
Okay, okay.
That's where I think what the Broncos are doing is they're basically saying, what do we do well? Do we do anything well? Well, we got two really good running backs.
One really good running back,
and a guy you hope is going to be Royce Freeman.
Royce Freeman, right.
You hope he's going to be better second year, and we both think he will. So you say, well, that's what we got to do. We got some great pass rushers. We hopefully have some cornerback depth. We can play defense. We can run the ball. We'll have to win this way. I don't think you go into an offseason saying, here's the way we want to build a team. We're going to build it around Phil Lindsay and Royce Freeman. No, not necessarily. You'd rather play like Kansas City Chiefs or Los Angeles Chargers, who have a good balanced offense with a great passing game. You want a passing game in 2019. I'm sorry. Like, yes, I'm an old man in many ways, but I could realize that the football I grew up watching, that ain't the way it is anymore. You need to be much more diverse, much more creative, much more explosive, or you just can't keep up with Patrick Mahomes and Philip Rivers.
Would football not be as popular if it wasn't for this, the Chip Kelly influence? Which they'll never admit, but would it not be as popular if it was 90s football?
Are you saying as fans go?
Yeah.
I think football, no matter what form it takes, will always be popular. People will talk themselves into it. So I don't think you need necessarily for 50 points a game. I think people will be, if it was 17-14, people will talk themselves, because it's NFL. It's just
people said the
forever.
Super Bowl was ass, like with the way that game went out.
It wasn't great.
So if it's more of that, would people turn away? I mean, we're talking about all sports, right? Popularity of all sports. And I think Major League Baseball has a very strong group of young stars that they can market to a much younger audience because baseball's average fan, the average fan is 65 years old. The average. Look it up. Wow. Look it up.
So you're saying I'm like a 65-year-old man, basically.
Yeah, like when you and like Jeff Brantley, like big baseball scene heads, I'm like, what? You're like 30. So, but I think there's in terms of like young talent, that game is in a really good spot. I think Major League Baseball is in a really good spot to be the number two sport.
Right.
I don't think the NBA is as good as it is, and I'll agree with you, the skills that we see today are much better than we saw in the 80s or 90s.
My goodness. Yeah.
The basketball that I grew up with, specifically the 90s, like the skill is incredible for these NBA players.
So many good players in the NBA right now.
And by the way, the Rockies did win. Our man Jason
Another walk-off for the Rockies.
There we go. Getting it done.
They're trying to dig out of this hole they were in.
Just like I thought they would.
Anyway.
But the point is...
But you know, when you talk about football and the popularity of it, I think that, you know, a lot of people, old men, usually I'm in this group, but not in this way, you know, they watch that Chiefs-Rams game last year, 54-51, and say, oh my goodness, where did the defense go? I watched that game and said, oh my goodness, these two offenses are unbelievable. Those two offenses played on such a high level that day that sometimes you just beat the defense, and they beat the defenses repeatedly. But I think that there's no problem with that. I think the modern NFL game is getting so much smarter. We know more. We know, again, you don't punt on 4th and 1 from the opponent 40 anymore. Like, that's just dumb. Like, we don't do that anymore. Just because George Halas did it in 1945 doesn't mean it's the way you should be doing it in 2019.
Analytics, bunch of nerds.
It is. It's the analytics game. I think the analytics have really helped the game. They've changed the game for the better. I think people are realizing, if we're going to pass the ball and we're going to average 8 yards per attempt, it's better than running the ball 3 yards per attempt. This is just simple math.
Your average pass play... get 7 yards. On your first down pass play. The average first down pass play is 7 yards.
Right.
Why the hell wouldn't you pass on first down
and
all the time?
And why does anybody in the world run on 2nd and 11? Because just trying to set up a good third down is so dumb. You take 2 shots. I think we're getting smarter if football people are getting smarter, football fans are getting smarter. And if you're playing in this way of, we're going to run the ball and play defense, you're doing that only because either the game has passed you by or you simply are just admitting we don't have the personnel to play a different way. We can't play like the Kansas City Chiefs or the Chargers or the Patriots most days. The Patriots are very much a chameleon. But the Rams, we can't play that way because we just don't have the horses for it. We have to play this way. That's fine. You know, it's tough to acquire all that talent in the NFL. But I don't think anybody voluntarily plays that way anymore.
Are the Broncos closer to being the best team in the AFC West or the worst? The truth next.
Oh, yeah. I always got to let this one breathe. Mile High City, what's up? Check out my Mile High Monday at 104.3thefan.com. I'm Cecil Lammy sitting with Frank Schwab. Yahoo Sports. And the question about the Denver Broncos, and this is from our conversation at lunch, about where the Broncos are in the division. You and I agree that the Chargers are the best team in the division.
Yes.
You and I also agree that Kansas City could take a step back.
Mm-hmm.
Pat Mahomes specifically. Like, 50 touchdowns is going to be difficult to duplicate. He might have 45 or 49.
Look, if Patrick Mahomes throws for 50 touchdowns again, we are legitimately looking at probably the greatest player ever. I'm being dead serious about that. There has been 3 times in history a guy has thrown 50 touchdowns. Like, this is, if he does it his first 2 seasons, we are talking about legitimately like a guy who might be the greatest ever.
Right. So we're expecting a step back. Yes. The whole Tyreek Hill, whatever that is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Raiders, we didn't really talk about at lunch. So where are the Broncos in the mix? If Kansas City takes a step back, does Denver take a step forward? Do they even up with them? I'm not going to even say leapfrog, but I'll say it. Like, do they leapfrog them, or are they competing with the Raiders for the worst team in the division?
I think you got to look at it that way. I think if you're trying to slot which team is, you know, which team ranks in the division, each division, you're talking about each team. I think the Broncos is number 3 is one of the safest bets you're going to find, because I can't see them being worse than the Raiders. Raiders are better. They've made some moves. I'm actually willing to give John Gruden a little bit of patience. Nobody else is. I'm at least willing to see. Let's see how this thing shakes out with John Gruden. I mean, yeah, the Khalil Mack trade stunk, but the rest of it, I'll give them a pass. They didn't have a very good roster. But I don't think that they're going to be better than the Broncos. I think the Broncos, unless there's an injury to Mahomes or Rivers or like just somebody's decimated up there. I can't see the Broncos being better than either of those teams. Can you? Like, in what scenario could you see the Broncos finishing ahead of the Chiefs unless it involves a Patrick Mahomes injury?
Well, and here's the thing. Like, if we had said this back when Kansas City, you know, they trade away D Ford, mm-hmm. and you're thinking, okay, well, where's their pass rush at? And you have Eric Berry move on. So there was a point where you looked at the Chiefs' defense, and you're like, oof, this is a little rough. And then, okay, now you've got Tyrann Mathieu there in free agency. You have the move for Frank Clark mm-hmm. from Seattle. Not really a great guy, but anyway, that's another story. But you now have some pieces that you didn't.
Right.
You know, a few months ago, so Kansas City's defense, I'm not saying this legit, it's not as good as the Broncos defense, and the Chargers defense is pretty damn scary.
It is very good. I think Derwin James is going to make the Hall of Fame.
Wow.
All pro as a rookie. That guy is the modern NFL player. You can line him up literally anywhere. You can say, hey, Derwin, on this play, we need you to do X, Y, and Z. Like, if you looked at him, when we talk about Lamar Jackson struggling so much mm-hmm. in that playoff game, the wild card game, it's because Derwin James can line up everywhere and do everything.
Right.
Like, he is so good.
Right.
How did he last till 17?
17.
17.
Right? Yep.
How? How on earth? Vita Vea going ahead of him. Are you kidding me? Colton Miller going ahead of him. Raiders. What are you doing? So, anyway, the Chargers defense is unbelievable. Their offense is going to be even better with a healthy Hunter Henry. I can't see the Chargers or Chiefs being less than 10 wins. Realistically, unless injuries. Again, if Phillip Rivers goes down and Nathan, Tyrod? Tyrod's are back. Yeah, they're not winning 10 games with Tyrod Taylor.
It's Tyrod now.
Tyrod. And I don't see that. There's just no way that the Chiefs are winning less than 10 games, I don't think, with a healthy, somewhat healthy.
Very true.
Season.
You don't want Chad Henne coming in the game.
No. But that can happen. We've seen it happen in the NFL before. But don't you agree with me that the Broncos' most realistic scenario, and it might be the most realistic scenario of any team slotting any division, is Denver finishing third place in this division. Can you imagine? I mean,
doesn't mean they're a wild card. I mean, look at the rest of the AFC.
It's tough. It'll be very, very tough. It'll be very tough.
But AFC North, we're going to both say Cleveland wins that?
I'm
not putting the Steelers in there.
Why not?
That's to putting them in there.
You can't see the Pittsburgh Steelers winning the division?
No Antonio Brown.
I knew that.
And James Conner is good, but he's not as dangerous as Le'Veon Bell.
Le'Veon wasn't around last year either. I mean, they've had a year to get used to this.
Devin Bush better play out of his mind then.
And he might. I mean, look at how good their defense was with Ryan Shazier.
Right. So
I'm not willing to dump on the Pittsburgh Steelers yet. Okay. They're going to be right.
I will. I'm just
And the Baltimore Ravens play a style that I still think the NFL is going to have a tough time with, so
yes.
They're going to be up there.
And I hate them, but yes.
Yeah.
I hate the Baltimore Ravens, but I fully admit that. Okay, so
Colts and Texans in the South. They're both very good.
You're not getting a wild card then. You're not going to the playoffs.
I think Jaguars are
going
to be pretty good again.
You're not going to the playoffs.
Probably not, unless a lot of things bounce right. But we've seen that happen from NFL teams all the time. We didn't think the Indianapolis Colts would be in the playoffs last year, right? But what did they have?
Especially after their start.
They had 1-4, 1-5, one of those two. They were really bad at the beginning of last year. But what did they have last year? Great draft. They had a draft, and I'm not saying the Denver Broncos have guys, Noah Fant's going to be an all-pro, and Risner's going to be an all-pro, because they had literally two all-pro guys with their first two picks. But can you have the type of draft that turns you around into a 9-win team, and then the tiebreakers go right for you, and this team gets injured, and that team? Maybe, but I can't see them finishing in the top two. Again, unless Mahomes, Rivers, a bunch of injuries, whatever. But I just can't see them finishing in top two. Can you? Give me a scenario.
Somebody's hurt.
Yeah, it's got
Mahomes or Rivers are hurt. That's it.
Like you lose like seven receivers.
And by the way, Tyrod Taylor coming in for the Chargers,
it's not bad.
That wouldn't be bad.
Right.
That wouldn't be terrible. You could do a lot worse. Look at Kansas City, like Chad Henne. Let's go.
They're all in. Yeah, they're all in.
Yeah.
Doing the Peyton Manning Colts thing where you just had no backup whatsoever. Screw it. Manning goes down, the season's done anyway, and then they went, 1-15 without him that year?
Right.
So I just can't envision a realistic scenario in which the Broncos finish 1 or 2. It'd be fun. It'd be cool. And I think the Broncos were better than their record last year. Lost a lot of close games. Weren't very well coached. Maybe that changes everything. But I don't know. I still just have a tough time envisioning them finishing anywhere but third. First, second, fourth. I can't even give you a scenario where I think that's realistic.
What about the Fangio effect? We've gone 3 hours. We really haven't talked about Vic Fangio enough, in my opinion. Barely talked about him.
It's tough because we don't know. I mean, here's a guy, he's never been a head coach before, and he's doing and saying all the right things, and I do think he's a very good football mind, but it's different when you go from the coordinator job to the head coaching job. It just changes everything.
What about his view? Because he's not going to be up in the box like he was almost every year. Only 1 year as a defense coordinator was he down on the field, and he hated it.
Yeah, I don't
know. Now he's going to have to be on the field.
And for anybody who's been on the field for an NFL game, you have, I have on the sideline there. I don't know how these guys see anything. It's amazing. The game moves at the speed of light down there. And how can guys diagnose?
On field level.
How could guys diagnose? Like, yeah, they're going cover three on us. Like, how? I don't know how you could even ascertain that. But I think that Fangio's, he could be a great, great coach, but we just don't know. Like, I think of Ben McAdoo. That's a very bad comparison. But Ben McAdoo was a very good offensive coordinator, and everybody thought he was wonderful. And then he got the head coaching job, and it was just too much for him. It just, you are pulled in 18 different directions. You're not just, Vic Fangio's basically just been a football grinder his whole life, and now he's a CEO. Now you gotta go shake a lot of hands, deal with the media a lot, deal with your players on a different level than you did as a coordinator. I'm not saying Vic Fangio's a bad coach. I'm just saying I don't know. I have no idea what the effect is going to be.
Okay, well, we've learned a couple
things. He probably can't be worse. He's probably not a downgrade. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. I still speak in VJ quotes, though. Like, if somebody asks me a question, I'll be like, I'm not sure. Like, I still speak in VJ quotes. And
I still speak in Shanahanese once in a while.
Shanahanese?
I use setback a lot. Yeah, that was one of my... You either get it done or you don't. Okay. That was a Shanahanism, yeah.
A Shanahanism when he talked to you, that is.
Nah. Rare, very rare. I'm talking press conferences when he kind of had to be, you know, he couldn't just leave.
Yeah. Well, we've seen a lot with this Denver Broncos team. We'll see if they can get back on the winning track. That is a wrap, my friend.
Wow.
I learned a lot about you today. Don't go to Nuggets games.
I know, right?
You
know,
sorry.
I might have to, I'll break the news to Lexi. I'll tell her no more. Sorry. Sorry, kiddo.
Go to the games in like November. That's fine. Playoff games. All right, that is a wrap for today's show. Frank, thanks for sitting in here.
It was awesome, man.
It was a lot of fun, as always. Thanks for our man, Jason Brightman, for running the show. I'm Cecil Lammy saying thanks. Happy Memorial Day. Stay tuned and stay frosty.